Join me in a word of prayer as we come to the Word again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening where we get to reflect upon your great love for us that you have shown in your Son, that you have lavished upon us, Lord, through what he has done in coming to give his body and blood for us. And Lord, I thank you that you give us these beautiful narratives that show his love and his delight in you and his delight in all of his sheep. I pray for you to bless us this evening as we hear from your word. Bless me, guide my words. Lord, minister to us through your Spirit and strengthen us to live as your people. Lord, give us joy as we also come to the feast that you have given to us. Renew our strength and our faith by your grace. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the homily tonight will be really more of a reflection on how our life and love come from our triune God alone. Our world encourages us to be altruistic and caring people who seek the greater good. And I think that this impacts how we think about the Christian life and our love in the Christian life more than we realize. The truth is that in ourselves, we don't have the resources to love. We're born to be inclined to the exact opposite of love, as the Bible defines it. Even as Christians, we who are trusting in Christ and depending on him and praying to him every day, we find our patience running out very quickly. Our love for others having a short fuse and a short wick. Who's there with me? Often, just moments after we read the word or pray, we feel our love is running dry. Really, this whole service and the passages that we read out of John are pictures and things that point us forward to Jesus, the final moments of Jesus' life. And we have these intimate pictures of his final moments with his disciples. His actions in taking the way of a servant and washing his disciples' feet and in serving them the Passover meal to partake of, these all serve as symbols for what he goes to do on the cross in giving himself as a servant to forgive us and save us by offering himself, his body and his blood, as the final perfect sacrifice from God. Tonight, I wanted to read out of 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. You can turn there if you like. I'm just going to read and reflect on this passage for a little bit before we come to the table. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a lot in this passage, and I'm not going to do a full exposition tonight, but I have a few comments on it for us to consider this Maundy Thursday. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but Maundy Thursday, if you don't know, it comes from the Latin word for mandatum, which is from the verses that we just read out of John chapter 13, where Jesus gives his disciples a new commandment, a new mandate to love as he loved them. By this, all men will know that you are disciples if you have love for one another. The basic idea in 1 John chapter 4 is that love comes from God, not any other source. Jesus tells his disciples in John 13 that they are to love one another as he has loved them. That is, by embodying humble, self-giving love to and for one another. We read in John 13, verse 15, that Jesus says he did this as an example, that they would do as he did for them. Well, the same should be true for us. We're washed in Christ, and we should follow his example in washing one another, one another's feet. Servant love, as God defines it, is evidence of the fact that we are born of God and know God. That's the other comment I had out of 1 John. It says, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Love is from God. Anyone who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. John goes on to explain that we are born of God only and have life only because he first loved us. Even though our world tells us otherwise, we are all born into sin and rebellion against God. We're also at odds with one another from birth. If you don't believe me, just watch little siblings spending time with one another for 15 minutes, and then you'll believe me. I don't want to enumerate that illustration any further, but I have little kids, so I can attest. The truth of the gospel is that God loved us and sent his son to make us right with him when we were far from him. He sent his only son, his beloved son, the son who he had loved and lived in love relationship with from eternity past. He sent his son to buy us back to God, to give himself as a propitiation. That's what John says. Propitiation means that Jesus, the Son of God, is the sacrifice that takes away our sins and restores our relationship with God. He reconciles us. He brings about a new, restored relationship. Because of what God has done out of his love in Christ, we are new creations, and we are called to love one another. That's what John says in verse 11 of our passage. But our love, as I hope you're hearing at this point, it's completely rooted in God's love and in what Christ has already done on the cross. I'll jump back to John chapter 15 and just read a couple verses out of this chapter. It says, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we love by abiding in God's love, in Christ's love, in Christ himself. By remembering what this evening stands for, and remembering what tomorrow stands for and Sunday stands for each day. We humble ourselves out of gratitude to God for our Savior who humbled himself to death for us. We are kind to other people. We forgive others because God was kind to us in Christ, because he has forgiven us in Christ, and we can live in the joy of being forgiven people. We love because God first loved us. My final comment on 1 John is that in our love, the world sees God and his love. 1 John 4:11 and 12 say that we ought to love one another, because if we do, people see the unseen God. So we hear God's word read this evening, we encounter him, and if we love one another, people see God in us. It's an amazing, amazing reality that we get to take part in. Not only this, it says that God's love is perfected in us. It's perfected in us. It works itself out to perfect completion in his world. This doesn't make love easy, as by definition, love involves doing the unwanted, dirty, and undesirable task. But in doing these things, we will find the joy that comes with glorifying the Father, as Jesus glorified his Father in giving himself for us. I quoted from this book that I'm reading, which I found quite helpful as a young pastor. And I actually found this quote in the preface pretty much right after I started here, almost 3 years ago. And it was quite impactful on me. And I think it's instructive for anyone who's a pastor, but really it's instructive for all believers, for everyone here, in living wherever God has placed them. So I wanted to read this quote for you all, and you can reflect on how it applies to your life, wherever you are serving and living. This is the secret for sustainable pastoral work. You need to realize that you've got nothing to give others that you did not receive. Jesus loves you first. Then you love him back by loving his sheep and lambs in his name and his stead. If pastoral ministry is anything at all, it's a ministry of love. It's being one more link in the unbroken chain of love that extends all the way back to Calvary one dark Friday outside the city gates of Jerusalem. There they nailed up the Lord of life to die a cruel death he didn't deserve, but willingly, even joyfully, embraced so he could give us his own life to live, risen out of death and into life eternal. No matter how compassionate or empathetic a pastor is, there's just no way he can come up with what it takes to feed the sheep of Christ effectively, much less tend to their spiritual heartaches, bruises, and injuries. He's going to run dry sooner or later, and most likely sooner. I learned that the hard way. As a young pastor, I thought the best I could do for people was to give them my own love and compassion. That was, of course, wrong-headed. But I didn't know it way back then. In those early years of ministry, I began to learn the lesson I'm still learning every day, now 50 years later. The best we pastors have to give Christ's sheep and lambs doesn't come from within. It comes from him. His love is perfected through us. It reaches its goal when we extend the love we've received from him. We love because he first loved us. And Christ's love never runs dry. Amen? We're lost apart from what God has done in Jesus. But in him we have new life, now and forever. In him, Moses' words in Psalm 90 can be and should be true for us. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Tonight and every day, I want to encourage us to imagine how our lives might change if we kept Jesus' servanthood, Jesus' love, at the forefront of our minds and hearts. If his servant love were the fertile soil in which our love germinated and grew. I know many of us are here in a number of ways in our lives already, but we all also have places in our hearts and lives that are not as soft, that are not as fertile, that are more like clay or hard dirt. We live in a house with a yard where the dirt is naturally very hard, and it's hard to work in. We may have relationships where it's this way, where things are hard. It's hard to work. But the truth is that it's in these places where Christ works on us and where we can abide in his love. We can trust in his Spirit to search us and till us. And it's in these exact places that we can trust, most importantly, that he loves us. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have loved us, that you gave yourself as a propitiation for our sins. We thank you that if we have confessed that you are the Son of God, that you have done these things, that we have trusted in you, that you are already abiding in us through your Spirit, and that we abide in you. I pray for you to help us to be people who abide in you and in your love, who wake up every morning and thank you for your lavish love upon us. And I pray for you to use us to be people in whom your love is perfected. This is only something you can do through your Spirit. I pray for you to make it a reality. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.